Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? All right. Well, that didn't work. Hang on a second.
It didn't go as we hoped.
Nope. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida.
Hello, Ren. What are you seeing?
I am seeing, well, I'm going to do true confessions. I got talked out of ending the call early yesterday, and I'm back for more today. So I'm feeling good.
Okay, so we're not that religion.
I know.
Right. So you got talked out of doing something. You saw that. You realized that. You didn't go with this is evidence that you're in some way not enough or missing something or there's something wrong. And it just it redoubled your interest in not going in that direction anymore. Is that what happened?
Yes, that's what happened. I was viewing the story as very, very serious until I could make that little shift of, no, it's really not so serious. It's just you got off early, so you try again tomorrow.
Yes, yes. And the only thing I would do, Ren, is take the try out of it.
Right, right, right. Well, I'm here, so yeah.
That's right. And the importance of that, as perhaps you know, but just for anybody who doesn't, the importance of that is that there's a message in that you are inadequate. But if everything goes just right, you might still slide through.
Yes, and I've been hearing those messages a lot about particular content with my mother and what makes me adequate and the noodling, you know, as a daughter and trying to get really me to think about this whole thing that doesn't need to be solved or any of that. But what I did hold on to that I wanted to share was that I think it was yesterday somebody said, you know, we're like superheroes, like compassion superheroes, and love is our superpower or something like that. Mm-hmm. For me, kryptonite is comparison. Anything that I can recognize as comparison, that's blocking my ability to celebrate myself as being authentic.
There you go.
So I've been seeing that a little bit more.
There you go. And realizing that, which I'm guessing the conversation about your mother is in aid of, right? Because there's some imaginary daughter who would obviously be doing a much better job than you.
Right. So circumstances wouldn't be that way for her if it was a good right daughter, really.
That's the story. But yeah. And so realizing that this it's excellent because now you can start looking for how ego is doing that comparison thing constantly in your life. You know,
you look at
somebody and there's ego saying, well, yeah, and she's, yeah, well, and he, you know, that it's always there. Well, but and so now you're seeing it everywhere and recognizing it for what it is. And of course, the only way you can do that is from awareness. So all of this is really good news.
Yeah, it's like somebody said, like if you hear of a new color or a plant or something, and then suddenly you see it everywhere. I'm catching on that I am prone to a lot of comparison that wants to pull me right down into that story and just seeing it. So thank you so much.
Well, Ren, I'm gonna reframe that one just a little
okay.
bit. Okay. Because what you're seeing is how that system is able to catch you. It's not that you're prone to it. Information about you. It's that system has been able to bamboozle you with this, and now you're catching on to it.
And that whole not taking anything personally would fit right in.
Would fit right in. Yeah, it absolutely would. So, again, if we can see in each of these situations, what we're doing is practicing awareness. So you're practicing awareness, and what you've seen is, in the past and up until quite recently, and probably to whatever degree going forward until you get completely to the other side of it, ego has been able to bamboozle you using this process of comparison. That's what you're catching on to. So if I recall, you're a teacher. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have students who come in not knowing X. Your role is to assist them to know X. And there's a process that from not recognizing it, not seeing it, not getting it, to, okay, seeing it everywhere, and that's kind of now that's under their belt, right? They can move on to the next whatever it is. And that's exactly what we're doing in awareness practice.
Right. And it holds the same parallel that you can't always just tell them about it. You have
That's
to try
right.
to provide opportunities for them to have their direct experience. And they might have
That's
to have
it,
the experience
Ren.
A couple times. Just
That's
fascinating
exactly
how
right.
we learn and you know, how little kids learn and how big kids learn.
That's right.
Kind of the
That's
same.
Right. It's the same process. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Have fun with
Gosho,
that. Gosho, huh?
Thank you.
Gosho.
Thanks, Ren. So much in that conversation, Cherry, but the part that I appreciate most is the encouragement to reframe how we say what we see. Because if we don't, then even though we're seeing it, ego still tells the story, and we don't catch on to it, right?
That is perfectly stated. That's exactly it.
Right. That even when I say I've seen something, that comparison, I got off the call early, is actually a comparative statement, because where does early exist except in comparing it to something else? And so to be able to catch on the subtle ways in which conditioning still reinforces the message of inadequacy is so important, of not enough, right? Which is what comparison is. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And how trained we are to look to conditioned mind for understanding.
That's
and
right.
as you're saying, just to get it, that conditioned mind is always putting a spin on.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah. Always, which is, I think, why we are given the vocabulary of practice, right? Because there's a structure in that allows us to. We don't say I beat myself up, because it's inaccurate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And once we catch on to that, we can see, wow, that really serves ego.
Yeah.
If I'm going to take that on, it can beat me, and then I say I did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, precisely. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol. Tell us about enough.
This is me being on in the queue and having nothing to say, and this is a very exciting thing. I've never tried this before, so I'm doing it.
Good for you. What should we talk about now that we have nothing to say? I guess we're just going to have to let life have a conversation.
I do want to say that I think I've said this before, but I'm going to do it again, that yesterday, the recording in the evening part, I was absolutely not going to do it. There's nothing to record about. I have nothing.
Yeah, nothing to say. Nothing to say.
And nothing. So don't even consider it.
Mm-mm.
So I believed it with everything in me, but I still picked it up. And I recorded for about 11 minutes, and it was startling. And that doesn't always happen, trust me, but just to pick it up and go, oh, that's what's under not enough. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it doesn't go that way, I project, it's because in the past, you have had your attention on conditioned mind. And so in each moment, it's going to say, yeah, there's nothing to say. Yeah, you got nothing to say here. Yeah, you got nothing to say. And finally, we just turn the recorder off because how boring is that to record that? Although, actually, it would be quite interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because where are you when you're watching what conditioned mind is doing? Well, you're right where you want to be, in awareness, seeing what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, the same thing happened on Sunday when I didn't know I was in celebration. And then I picked up the recorder, and there was the sky. The hang gliders were out. Everything was there that I probably would have just driven right by and missed. And I recorded about it. And do you know, conditioning was raving. It was like, oh, my God, this is dribble. Turn this off. You're going to sound insane if anybody hears these recorders. Get it off. You know, the pressure. And I thought,
that's kind
of a lot of resistance going on right now, you know.
Somebody's really threatened here.
And it was. But I believed it, and I thought, well, I'm just going to plow through anyway because these hang gliders are amazing, and the sky and the ocean. I just have to keep recording. But
is the point, isn't it, Carol? That's the point. Where do you want to live? I project you want to live in astonishment that there's the ocean, there's the sky, there's the hang gliders, there's the, right? Oh my gosh, this is, yeah? That's where you want to live. And there's ego going, no. You sound insane. This is drivel. Don't talk about that. Don't you? Really? That's the team you want to choose? I don't think so. And if we don't do what you did, which is go ahead and do the practice, that's what doesn't get revealed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like ego wants to be extreme and exceptional, and so if I record about the sky, which in its word is not exceptional, but it really is exceptional, but it wants to be like drama and blah, 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 record about that stuff.
Well, actually, it just wants you to feel bad.
Yes.
Yeah?
Exactly.
So
it
might
work,
say,
right?
Yeah, it might say, well, that's drivel and people think you're insane and what if somebody, but all it does is want you to feel bad. It's not offering you something more exceptional than an ocean and a brilliant sky. It's got nothing.
Right. That's how it can twist things, you know, like, oh, that's not enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me. The sky and the clouds and people floating in the air right now over my head is not enough. I think that's enough.
What do you got, ego? What do you got? We're going to go with comparison. How are you going to top that? And, of course, all you'll hear is a big silence because it doesn't have anything. Just negativity. Just no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No. And you're talking about yes, saying yes to life. Mm. And then life opens more yeses and more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm kind of.
And it's beautiful.
With.
And you're happy. And it's exciting. And you're lit up. And ego is there in the back seat going, I hate this.
this is awful.
Right. Well, this is awful. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
right.
Thank you for being there.
Yeah, and the thing that's so wonderful about it, of course, is that getting clearer and clearer what is life and what is ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're describing. And then, again, the choice is clear for us. Well, that kind of experience that you had is what ego promises but never delivers. And then when you're there, present in life, and life delivers it, which, as you noted, is happening all the time, but we're missing it because we're off in a conversation in our head with ego, okay? Then, of course, ego hates that fact, that you are able to have the life you want as soon as you pay no attention to it. That's bad news for anybody.
Wow. That's pretty big.
It's huge. It's everything. And it happens to be true.
Yeah. You brought up something. But anyway, that was, it'll come back to me when I listen to the recording. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so
for this.
Welcome.
It's just amazing to pick up the recorder and have things come out that are like, what? Okay. I'm just going to keep doing this.
Oh, keep doing this, because that's how life talks to you. Right? That, not just you. That's how life talks to us. It's talking to us all the time, but we're not listening. We pick up that recorder, and what we're signaling is, okay, I'm ready to listen. And that's when we get the good stuff.
Great. Oh, I feel all goosebumpy now.
Goosebumpy. All right. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol. Sherry, the image that was dropping in for me is how you manage the aperture on a camera to zoom in on something and then zoom out. And that's precisely what happens when we pick up the recorder, despite that envelope of you have nothing to say, right? Because in that zoomed in, contracted place, there isn't. But that doesn't mean that the context of awareness doesn't have something to say. It just requires such a level of training to go past that voice and the content and believing it to access the foreground or the context. And then, you know, it becomes blue sky and hand gliders and gratitude and all of those and presence. And so that's the training, right? How can awareness talk to me despite and over what ego is saying in the moment?
Yes.
How does awareness override that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because in a way that people are, spiritual people are kind of familiar with, what we're learning to do is hear the still small voice.
Yeah.
And it's not going to yell over ego.
Yeah.
That's
why
it's called the still small voice. We have to shut off ego and listen closely. And then, just as Carol proved a minute ago, it just talks at regular volume.
Yes, well, and it's my way of saying it is it's the off pulse, right? The off pulse has so much to say if we can receive the off pulse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Just get here. It can be as simple as you pick up the recorder, you turn it on, and you could actually say, okay, life, what now?
Yeah. Yeah, or I'm watching.
Listen.
I'm watching something say it doesn't have anything to say. You know, even that is a way of widening the aperture.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hello. This is Kelsey in Santa Rosa.
Hello, Kelsey. What are you seeing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing so much. Just one, how much ego wants to say how extremely inadequate to life I am. I know that's everybody's message, but ego likes to say that is more true for me than anybody else.
Of course. Of course.
Of course. And I think that's because one of the chronic patterns I have is procrastination, and I kind of have to have a tendency to check out. So, like, I sign up for the 5-mile retreat, but I miss the email, so I miss the first class.
Let me offer you a little encouragement right at this juncture. I don't know if you've heard me say this, but at one point I was doing an email class, and I asked people what they felt like the biggest issue in their life, their biggest stumbling block, and something between 80 and 90% of the people said procrastination. And I'm convinced that the other 20% just hadn't thought of it. So that is absolutely. So everything you've said so far, those are classic ego techniques. You're worse than everybody. And then talking people into not now, later, and of course later never comes. And then what's wrong with you? Well, look at you. You know, and then it rolls out the proof. Well, you did this and you didn't do that, and you did that, and you didn't do that, and you did. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is
its
playbook.
That's what I wake up every morning, you know, with just this list of things that I haven't done that I need to do that are important.
And so what is the way around that? What is the way around that? It's really easy. It's really easy, Healthy. It's really easy. You have that recorder right next to your bed. And on is a recording.
Did that
right.
This morning. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Recording.
That's right. And you listen to that recording that tells you what that stuff is and that it's not true and it's just a scam to hijack your life. And like that. And then the next recording can be, you know, kind of things like, you know, what I really want my attention on. I want to look for, it'd be like Carol, I want to look for what's extraordinary today. Oh, there are trees out there.
That is something that I realized because when we were doing celebrating, I had huge resistance to it. Like, well, you didn't even
Kelsey,
the assignments
no,
for the rest
no,
of the
no,
retreat.
No,
so you
Kelsey,
can't celebrate.
Whoa. This is back to that language change. You didn't have resistance to it. Ego had
Okay, so ego had huge resistance to it.
Yeah, of course
and
it did.
And ego's always told me a story that I'm more comfortable with being sad and that I don't trust joy.
Of course.
Because I'm used to it. But I realized that I'm really good at celebrating because I've always been, I don't know, my senses are very sensitive, and I've always seen beauty just in very tiny details, like the way sunlight falls on the spider web. You know, I live in an old house, and it is full of magical light, you know, coming in through the wavy glass windows. And so I realize it's especially cruel that ego has taken something I'm actually good at, and it convinced
Kelsey, don't go there. Okay, don't go there.
Okay.
It's not especially cruel. That's another one of those scams. It's more cruel. It's more this. It's more, You don't need to have any of those conversations. Have the conversations about the light on the cobwebs. Go around making recordings with life, exploring all of the beauty that's in your environment, all of the things that you love about it, all of the things, and listen to that rather than any other conversation in your head. Okay? And start the day with it. It's what you get out of bed with. It's what you have your first cup of whatever. It's, you know, you wash your face, you take your shower. Whatever you do, that's there with you. That's the reality that you're living in. All right.
So
go have fun.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Good woman. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelsey. Sherry, give me 1 minute. I'm trying to find her in the queue to mute her. Hang on, Kelsey. Well, that doesn't seem to be happening. But let me bring on another caller, Sherry, while I attempt to do that.
Okay. And Kelsey's being quiet. She's sitting there listening.
Okay.
Looking here's around the cobwebs.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Judy from San Francisco.
Hello, Judy. What are you seeing?
Hey. Okay. So around celebrating, I heard a very monotonous, repetitive, like, it's not worth mentioning, it's nothing, it's not important, you know, like, mm-hmm. not worth talking about, not mm-hmm. worth celebrating.
No, it's not worth talking about when there's all that negativity we could be discussing.
Right. It's like very dismissive.
Yeah, we could be focused on what's wrong, Judy. Why are you looking at
yeah, exactly.
little tiny things to be happy about when there's so
exactly.
much we could be talking about that's wrong? Isn't that good to see?
Mm-hmm. It's like, and then when there was the assignment about is there a duality here, I didn't see a duality. It was just like one track.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No.
Right, exactly.
It's the street called no. And yet, those little blips are blipping through.
Yes.
Aren't they? Tell us about those.
Still, small voice. Taking worth out of the equation, you know, like, so mm-hmm. not being in the equation of this is worth it and this is not worth it, right?
Mm-hmm. Because you know which one you're going to be in, right? If you start going along with that, you know which category you're going to fall into.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not worth for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really not worth listening to, is it? Let's just put ego in the not worth category. It's just not worth it.
Oh,
you know, I'm just not
right.
getting anything out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, ego's not worth talking to, right?
Exactly. It's got nothing new to say. It's not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But light on those mm-hmm. cobwebs, or that blue sky and that ocean and those hang gliders. Now that kind of that's an interesting relationship to pursue. Let's
yeah.
talk about that.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be big, does it?
No.
No. I had a fabulous cup of tea this morning.
Mhm.
I always like to acknowledge what a great cook I am.
Nice.
Mhm. How much I love that mug.
Right.
Mhm.
Yeah, and I remember the assignment about interviewing the objects around the house. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this humble little mug that I drink out of every day is just so far beyond enough. It is just fantastically fantastic. It is perfect. It fulfills its role magnificently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't sit around asking, why aren't I a glass or a plate or a spoon, right? It just
That's
is its
right.
mug thing.
That's right. That's right.
Every day.
And it is
every
worthy
day.
Of immense love and appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. As are we.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how often you do this, Judy, But it might be a perfect time for some recordings. All of the best things about Judy.
I haven't in a while.
I think it would be a good time for that, don't you? And we know who to ask and who not to ask.
Yes. Ask the one who appreciates the mug.
That's exactly right. In fact, if I were to ask this mug the best things about me, I think it would have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Because I take really good care of it, and I really love it, and I appreciate it. Right? And it feels special, and I bet it would have a lot to say about those qualities in me. I'm going to, as soon as this is over, I'm going to find out.
Ask the mug? Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
Let's both
Thank
do
you.
That, okay? Let's both do that
okay.
with everything in our life today. Everything. Just to say, what do you like best about Judy? What do you project onto Judy? What do you appreciate most? Yeah, I'll do the Sherry part because we don't know each other that well. But, and you do the Judy part.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Then we'll
Great.
Check in.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you,
Judy. Yep. Okay.
Thanks, Judy. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I've assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment: make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation.
Well, these conversations this morning seem to have led right into that, don't you think?
Absolutely. Beautiful whole mind.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank
Go
you,
happy.
Everybody. Go happy.